From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Friday morning, the Forest Service issued an update on wildfires in the area. According to East Zone Fire Management Officer Patty Johnson, several wilderness campers on Wednesday were asked to leave a smoky area affected by the Knife Lake fire burning in the Quetico Provincial Park. She said the area had been closed and is being monitored to keep campers out. Johnson said the last flight Thursday night showed the fire is now approximately at 500 acres. It has moved into a 2005 prescribed burn area. The fire was backing to the north towards Emerald Lake. Johnson added that the Canadians had put a three-person crew out to secure the peninsula area between Knife and Little Knife Lakes, so it won't move across there. Quote, "They have a very few resources to do full suppression on this fire at this time," she said. "They're very busy up there with fires that are threatening communities." According to the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources, there were four new fires in that region Friday. This follows a busy couple of days in the region, which had 15 new confirmed fires in Dryden, Kenora, Fort Frances, Nipigon, Sioux Outlook, and Thunder Bay districts. The cause of these new fires has been both human and lightning. Many small rural post offices will see their window hours cut to as few as four per day by the first of the year. WTIP has learned that facilities in Hovland and Finland will see retail window reductions to 4 hours per day. Tofte will have its hours reduced to 6 per day. Peter Nowoski of the Postal Service Regional Office in Minneapolis said, quote, "Keep in mind that the changes will not impact access to P.O. boxes, mail collections, or delivery of mail, only the retail window," unquote. Nowoski said all affected customers will receive a letter explaining the changes and the time and place of a community meeting. They will also receive a survey to gauge the community's preferences as to how they want their services delivered. Nowoski was unable to say when the notifications would be sent or give dates for the meetings at this time. He did say that any changes would go into effect a month or two after the community meeting is held and all public input is evaluated. According to Senator Al Franken's office, last year 117 post offices were scheduled to be closed in Minnesota. That decision was eventually reversed by the Postmaster General. A range of options were designed to meet customer needs. One was limiting service hours. The new strategy was announced by the Postal Service in May as a, quote, "framework to achieve significant cost savings as part of the plan to return the organization to financial stability," unquote. Other options suggested by the Postal Service are three existing alternatives. They include service by either rural carrier or highway contract route, contracting with a local business to create a village post office, or by offering service from a nearby post office. A voluntary early retirement incentive for the nation's more than 21,000 non-executive postmasters was also announced. Would-be wolf hunters are lining up for a shot at an elusive prey this fall when Minnesota plans to open its first season since the gray wolf came off the endangered species list. The state received 23,477 applications for the 6,000 permits that will be issued through a lottery system. Department of Natural Resources spokesman Chris Niskanen said all but a few hundred applicants are from Minnesota, but people from 33 states did file paperwork. Minnesota has set two seasons, with an early season beginning November 3rd to coincide with the deer firearms season. A later season is designed to allow trappers to take wolves with their thicker winter pelts. The state has set a limit of 400 wolves, and hunting will be cut off if the number is reached. Niskanen said licenses will be awarded by the 14th of October. Residents will pay $30 for a license, non-residents pay $250. About 35 opponents of Minnesota's planned wolf trapping and hunting season rallied last week in Duluth, holding signs and sometimes howling, calling for Governor Mark Dayton to stop the hunt. American Indians were among the demonstrators. The Minnesota Education Investment and Employment Act passed the U.S. House, according to 8th District Representative Chip Kravac, earlier this week. The legislation is opposed by environmental groups who say it would limit or eliminate current land uses in exchange for an expansion of mining. According to Representative Kravac, the bill would exchange all 86,329 state-owned school trust fund BWCAW land for land outside the wilderness. He says the land would then start earning revenues for Minnesota students. Kravac said the legislation will ensure the land exchange takes place and the state receives the highest valued lands possible. Friends of the Boundary Waters and other environmental groups say if the exchange goes through, the state would place the land in special categories mandating intensive management. The Friends say existing access for hunting, fishing, camping, and many other uses would be limited or eliminated. They also claim the bill will lead to even more intense mining at the edge of the Boundary Waters and would be a high priority for sulfide mining companies. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.